Father, we just thank you for your goodness today as we just come together and as a body of believers for annual meeting, as we come together for a body of believers to hear an encouraging word. Lord God, I ask that you would be in the center of it. Thanking you, Lord God, for those that are new to Rosedale. Pray that they would join us in the journey as we move into 2020 to be able to impact this community for Christ and make a difference, and desiring, Lord God, that we would be discipled and grow in Christ together as a family of believers. May you get honor and glory. May your name be lifted up, and may you accomplish all that you want to accomplish in the weeks and months to come. In Jesus' name, amen. I consider myself happy and a blessed man to be able to bring a report to people that I love very much. I sympathize with those that have to work a job that they don't love. And I'm excited to bring the report. I'm excited to be a part of Rosedale. I'm excited that it's not a job. It's something that I truly love. And in a day and age when I think everything seems to be microwave ready, I'm thankful that I am a part of this body of believers. And I'm blessed to bring my 15th report to Rosedale. And I stop and I think years ago, I remember when I candidated here, I was asked to come for two Sundays. The first Sunday was kind of a missionary Sunday. I was to bring a missionary message. The second week, I was to come to bring a candidating message. So the first week, I bring the message. And the second week I come, they had a dinner and kind of grilled me afterwards, asking a bunch of questions. But the thing that I thought was funny and made it a God moment is that we were sitting here, and of course they're looking for a pastor. I'm looking to see where God would want me to be, and I sensed the tension that was like going on, and all of a sudden I just stopped and I said this. I said, "You're looking at me, I'm looking at you. How about we just see what God has to say about this?" And all of a sudden you could feel the tension, and a couple people approached me that afterwards, that was a moment where God was intervening. So I'm happy to bring that report and to see what God has to do. Throughout Scripture, we see that there's Scriptures on change. Change is inevitable. Some changes that are needed in our lives, and it affects how we live our lives, who's in charge of our lives, the priorities in our lives, all of these things. And then there's some change that's in Scripture about God's kingdom, how we're going to approach God's kingdom, showing Scriptures that once you become a believer, that it's not all about you. Amen. It's more about what can we do for the kingdom of God. How can we impact people's lives? And so when we say that we want change, sometimes that's not as easy as what we like to say. I think of the song that goes, "Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you." And goes on to say, "I'm the potter, I'm the clay, mold me and make me." And I believe that that's our heartbeat. That should be every Sunday when we walk in here. God, mold me and make me. Change my heart where it needs to be changed. May I be open and sensitive to what you have to say to me. And we were at a prayer retreat, and this past weekend, there's over 50 or 60 pastors and leaders there. And my prayer for those 3 days that I was there was, "God, change my heart. Any place that you want me to change my heart. God, may I be open to hear what you have to say." Because change always involves change. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is quick to say, "I want to change." And most of the time it's, you know, okay, God, I'm okay to change, but let it begin in someone else. You know, I have it all together. So if we're really going to make this work, God, you need to change other people. But my prayer was, Lord, change my heart. Change the things going on in my life. And yet when we yell revival, you know, if you say, would you like to see revival break out? And everybody say, yeah, amen. Bring it, Lord. Well, revival really is about change. We're praying that God change our hearts, change our priorities, change how we're thinking, make us more like you in looking into this community. And we've heard from some of our leaders, and we've heard a report, and we live in a day and age where, you know, God has to get a hold of people's hearts. We live in a day and age that how much more could we do if we had more to do with it? So we, you know, it's not a tithing message. It's not a, you know, I know you have money in your wallet, so let's have it. It's a day and age where at some point you will have to trust God to get you where you need to be and where the Lord wants to work in your lives. I talked about Bountiful Blessings, and that ministry started out small but has extended to be one of the two main ministries that we do. Twice a month, people are able to come into the church and get some of the cleaning supplies and things that they need. It's an opportunity for us to minister to them. They usually receive around $60 worth of things in cleaning supplies and personal needs that they have. And it was designed so that excess card, there's things that they can't get. And we wanted to be a blessing on that part. And for years, we have averaged over 400 families. And wouldn't it be great if we could turn them into believers? That they weren't only they may have only been coming for a bottle of pint, so, but maybe they'll receive Jesus. Maybe their hearts could be changed, and we love that opportunity. We have revamped it several times to include a Bible study. We've invited and gave initiatives to get them into the men's ministry and the women's ministry and the youth group and all the other activities that go on. We want them to be a part of VBS and the community and all of those things for one reason. We want to reach out to this community. We want to make an impact. And one of the things that we've done in the last year is, if you noticed out there, there's three words written on that foyer wall. And a lot of times you run by and you see it. And, you know, I even did something crazy, because that's some of the things I do, is I just said, hey, you know, what are the three words that are on the wall? In what order are they? And some could answer and some couldn't. Some were going like, okay, you know, Pastor, I know they're out there, and I can't tell you what they are. And this morning I want to tell you, they're out there as taglines. They're there for a purpose. They're just not something that we thought to put on the wall. It's to grow in Christ. Be wanting God to disciple you, wanting God to do something amazing in your life, and then allow God to transform you. That's the second word, transform. Allow God to do something amazing, something that you can't do in yourself. Allow him to transform you and mold you and make you more like Christ. And then the bottom word is engage. We can't hold it all to ourselves. It's not a smorgasbord. You don't come to the Lord and take all of his blessings and all of his things that he wants to do, and not go back out into the community and share your story, share your experiences of the Lord. And so we want you to go out and to engage the things that are going on with the Lord. There is a purpose there. I think of the prayer of Jabez. Expand my territory. All of the things that are going on in our lives, we have a story to tell. All of the things that God has done and brought us through is for a reason. And we're asking, go out and share it. Go out and allow God to make a difference. our mission statement a few years ago changed. A lot of times it just says, you know, kind of comes with a mission statement that says, disciple, be a disciple. We changed ours to demonstrate the revitalizing power of Christ's love by creating a radically inclusive community focused on breaking the cycles of poverty and marginalization in the Middletown area so that current and future generations are liberated to become devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. Not only do we want to help the community, the bountiful blessings and the different things that we do, but we want to come alongside of them and allow them to find Jesus, allow them to become more self-dependent in the things that they're doing. So, you know, 2019 was challenging for us in the sense that this year there has been a cloud of sickness, and anybody that has been around it's just we can't deny it. It has affected our attendance. It has affected our finances in every area. It's been a cloud of sickness, and I'm praying that God, would you do something fresh and new? Would you allow what has been happening to bring healing, to make a difference, to allow us to do ministry the way you intended it to be made. And the Lord, the day that I came here, showed me what he wants to do. And I'm praying, I'm waiting for God to do what he said he was going to do. And I believe we turned a corner. And I believe that these things are happening. And I'm excited about them. One of the things that I'm excited about is in getting the building to where we need it to be, and some different things. We were granted a grant this year from Oldham Little School, and second time they've helped us when we put up the sound equipment years ago and paid a portion of that, and this year they're going to help us in a project, a $10,400 project to do some of the doors around. If you look, the door there, and there's one door behind here. They're going to help finance to replace three outside doors that are badly needing to be repaired. And one of the things we've been praying about is these doors that come into the sanctuary always felt like they were fire doors, because they are. At one point, we were told that you had to have these fire doors, and it's not so. And we're desiring to get some wooden doors that have a little bit of glass there to make it more appealing, that you don't feel like you're turning the corner and walking into a warehouse, but more the sanctuary. I'm falling apart here. More a sanctuary. So that project begins next week. Praise the Lord. And we're looking forward to what is going to happen there. Out of the $10,400, we received a grant for $8,700 of it. So God is good and doing some different things. One of the things that I don't know what's happening here. Bear with me. I have to feel like the... One Adam 12 seed. No, that's another thing. That's something different. One of the things that I do need to talk to you about, and in a way, it's a tough moment, but it's an exciting moment, and I believe it with all my heart. The global church has some things in place in the manual that say that as a pastor has 7 years preaching as a full-time minister in one spot, to take some time off, have a sabbatical. And I've been here 15 years, and I have not done it. And it is not because my leadership has not offered. So when I say this, I'm going to take some time to step away. And I'm going to take 6 weeks, and between February 17th and April 4th, and I'm looking forward to this. And let me explain. And it was kind of funny. We've had some visitors, and we've had some great things going on. And it was kind of funny that last week I ran into Josh, and Josh says, "Hey, That was great today, wasn't it? Because we had an extraordinary service last week. God showed up. We responded, and together it was a great service, and you couldn't help but sense God's presence. And when I talked to Josh, he said, "That was great, wasn't it?" I said, "Yeah," and I started to say something. He said, "Don't even think about not taking a sabbatical." And I thought it was so funny, and I looked at him. I said, "You know, I did think that for a moment, but I know that it's not the right thing to do." With all that's going on with Becky and her surgeries and the chemo and the radiation and all the things that are going on and in the last 10 months and all of that, I've consented to do that, and I am looking forward to it. And here's the thing. I believe in the end of this, you will get a refreshed, renewed pastor. And you will be rewarded for giving me this time away, and I plan to do it in kind of two different things, and I will sit down with my wife to make sure that we are on the same page for the sabbatical. We are looking forward to time to get away together. We're looking to do some things that we haven't had time to do in our running. I want some time to just get alone with the Lord and pen and paper and allow Him to do something fresh and new. So in the next several, that's about 4 weeks away. In the next week or so, I'm going to get together contact information about everything that will keep everything going. I have a great leadership team. I have 100% faith in everything that they're going to do during that period of time. Fred has consented to do most of the preaching and the pastoral studies. If you don't know Fred, you need to get to know Fred. If you haven't heard Fred speak, you need to hear him speak. He's pastor's heart. Pastored for I think 17 years, and understands what a sabbatical means, because he took one, and knew what difference it made in his life. Knows what's needed during a sabbatical to keep Rosedale ship going in the right direction. So I'm excited for that. My pastor and colleague and friend is here today. That wasn't planned, but he's going to pitch in one Sunday too, and I love him. You need to hear his heart. Been a pastor, knows everything that is needed during the sabbatical time, and has been nothing but gracious to me. And one of the other weeks, connection pastor from the district, young guy that was a basketball coach that loves the Lord and will bring a message. And I encourage you that during this period of time that we journey together. I'm healing and you're growing. How about that? And there's some great things that will come out of this. And I believe it will take every person to make this work. And I believe that the end will be everything that we want it to be. And if you're new to Rosedale, I invite you to stay with us and hit the ground running. I promise that the Lord is doing some amazing things and see the heartbeat of what's going on. See, I have this feeling. We can say we want to be a friendly church, and we are a friendly church, but I believe this too. Being a friendly church that cares for souls will get God's attention and will reach out into this this community. So let me just for a moment, and I know the time's running away from us, but that's why we purposely have a dinner so that we can bribe you with, you know, a chicken nugget to keep you happy. So if you would just give me just a few minutes just to share something, I'd like you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43, looking at verses 14 to 19, and I'll move kind of quick and get you moving in the right direction, because I know it's time to quit when I hear some stomachs growling, so I will keep going. Isaiah 43, starting at verse 14. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your God. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed, out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. I realize that this is Isaiah speaking to the Israelites, but how many want a new year, new beginning? How many want to see a time where you can leave the past in the past? See, the good old days weren't so good. Do you know that? When you stop and really think about it and you reference the good old days, if you really think about it long enough, sometimes the good old days weren't all that good. And we need to allow God to do something fresh and new, something different in each one of our lives. And he says, do you perceive it? Do you see it? Do you believe it? Do you want it to happen? Do you want to be a part of that? And it's springing up. Can you get past what you can see to get into the realm of Almighty God doing something that we can't see, but we know he wants to? He says, I'm making a way in the desert. If the Lord said it, I believe it. Amen. If the Lord is offering it, I want it. See, heavy on my heart is this. We say so much about that we believe in prayer. We say so much that we want to get into the community. And really, just think about this for a second. If the Lord working into this community and those that you are influenced in and have an influence on, if it was based upon the amount of time that you set in prayer for it, how much would it accomplish? And my question kind of hit home there, because in the sense that we want to see God do these new things, and it's going to take prayer. It's going to take us being on our knees. It's going to take us wanting to change, and sometimes that change is happening in us. Mark 2:21 says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk clothes on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins. And I'm saying to you this morning, if we want to see God do something fresh and new, we can't do it the same old way and expect something different to happen. It has to be a new beginning. It has to be God doing some work in our lives. And if you really look into the wineskins, it's about elasticity. The new wine burst the old skins because there was no elasticity. And God wants to do something new. We need to stretch ourselves. We need to allow God to do some of these new things. We need to be growing and not being afraid to make adjustments. And my question as we close this off this morning is, are you willing to do it? It's going to take those that believe God for something new to allow the Holy Spirit to say, you know what? I'm open for change. I don't know what all that looks like. I'm praying, Lord God, that as I'm open to the change, that you will show me what that change is. I'm wanting you to work and then allowing the Holy Spirit to do that in our lives. Amen? Being intentional. It takes intentional to reach out into this community. It takes intentional to say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to spend some more time in prayer. You know what, Lord? I see what's going on. I'm going to intercede to find out what part I play in that and allowing God to do it. See, we have good intentions, but good intentions without action, without getting involved, doesn't allow us to get where we need to be. E.M. Bounds quotes, there's three of them here. I love them. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. Amen. See, we always think that the newest, the freshest methods are what's needed, but sometimes you know what it we got to go back to the basics. Get on your knees and see what God has to say about it. He also says we can do nothing without prayer, which is exactly, you know how much you can do without prayer? Whatever your talents are. But if you want to do something that's far beyond your talents into that realm where God can do something, we need the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And he also goes on to say, he who is too busy to pray is too busy to live a holy life. Don't get so busy that God is taken out of it. That, I believe, is the prayer each and every one of us should be praying, because today we live in a day and age is if you don't take time, somebody will steal it from you. So if you're not intentional of giving time to the Lord, you'll lose it to something else. If you're not intentional about giving those things to the Lord that you want him to work at and then be sensitive to see what he has to say, something will steal it. My prayer in my conversation with Becky for these, I don't want just 6 weeks off. I want the Lord to accomplish something in those 6 weeks. I don't just want to have the 6 weeks be one-sided. Her and I need to make sure that during the 6 weeks that both of us are getting exactly what the Lord wants. And so that when I stand back at this pulpit on Palm Sunday, that you know this pastor has heard from God. That this pastor is wanting to see God do something amazing, not only in my life and in my family's life, but in the life of the church. To bring those walls down. Those walls I'm talking about that have been there forever. And I've heard stories the whole 15 years I'm here. We've done this. We've had our moments of since I've been here, it's the same. Some of those walls have been up so long that it stops the progress of what God wants to do. And I'm praying that those walls come down and are exposed for what they are, that we move to where God wants us to be. Does God want to do something in people's lives? Then if we don't see it, that ought to draw us to our knees, because that is the heartbeat of God. So what do we need to do to make that happen? Amen? I just want you guys to know that I love each and every one of you and care about you and want us to move forward. And in the next 3 weeks, I will preach my heart out. And then you know what? For the next 6 weeks I'm gone, I'm praying that you would lift the Lord up and lift me up to the Lord, so that I can be all that the Lord wants me to be for you. Amen? Father, I thank you for your goodness this morning. Annual meeting is always tough because a part of me wants to preach. The other side of me says, you know, you need to talk about the things going on. And then when you talk about sabbaticals and you talk about some rough issues that are going through a church, we only want to sometimes talk about the good things. But Lord God, I'm asking that as a body of believers this morning, that we would be in tune and in touch with you on every issue that's going on in our lives. That as a body of believers, we would take this time to move forward. That you would bring down the walls that have stopped us from moving forward in some of the areas of ministry. That Lord God, the exciting ministries, the VBS, the Bountiful Blessings, the Community Day, where we are full, we're packed. Lord God, that you would also allow that to transition into discipleship, into church growth, into followers of Christ, so that when people think of Rosedale, they think of a church that loves the Lord and loves this community. May we make an impact. In Jesus' name, amen.